Okay, so tonight we are starting the Malacha of Bishul. Bishul is the last Malacha in the Sidur de Pas. It's a very big accomplishment, as we've been learning the entire year. So we know that the first 11 Malachos in our Mishnah on Ayin Gimel are the 11 steps in the process of making bread. Wherever that took place in the Mishkan is a discussion, but be that as it may, somewhere in the Mishkan was this 11-step process of making bread, and we spent the entire year learning through all these malachos, many of them extremely nogei lemaisa, and we're finally up to the 11th step, which is the malacha of bishul. After we've plowed and planted and harvested, we've cleansed these grains and we grinded it up, we made a flour, we refined it, and we made it into a dough. So we're finally ready to throw the dough into the oven and to bake it, and hopefully it'll be ready in time for Shabbos. So that then becomes our 11th malacha, which is the malacha of bishul. I apologize if it's a little dark in my background, but it's much better spot here than being next to my daughter who's trying to sleep, thanks to the 200-foot Ethernet cable that we got by accident. Okay, so our 11th malacha becomes the malacha of bishul, which is if you cook something, you cook something. So that becomes the av malacha of malachas bishul. And today, so we're going to be working on, or tonight, we're going to be working on the basic definition of Malacha Special. That's the goal for tonight. So we're going to break it down into two parts. So for part one of today's shiur, we're going to be working on figuring out what's the productive quality of this Malacha. As we've always emphasized all along, the Yesod of the Isra Malacha is productivity, and what governs all the toldos, what spawns all the toldos, is the productive quality of each of the avos. And so as we come to Malacha Special, we always have to ask ourselves, what's the productive quality of this Malacha, which is going to define where this Malacha applies. Now, we could just preface by pointing out that the Gemara 9 Dalet Amud Beis points out that the Malacha of Bishul is not limited to cooking food. Certainly, if you cook food, so that's an issue of Bishul. But the Gemara 9 Dalet Amud Beis points out that even, you know, heating up and cooking non-food items could also potentially be an issue of Bishul. The Gemara says that if you throw this wet peg into an oven and you soften it and harden it, that's also an issue of Malacha Special. The Gemara says if you cook tar or you cook pitch, so that's also an issue of Malacha Special. So we see from this Gemara that Bishul is not limited to cooking food items. It applies to non-food items as well. And so the question becomes, what's the yesod of the Malacha? What's the productive quality of Malacha Special? So there's a piece from Rav Moshe on this in the Igros Moshe in Chelek Beis in Siman Pei Hei, where if Moshe discusses this issue, he tells us, what's the yesod of Malacha Special? And he develops it from a Gemara in Shabbos on Mem Amud Beis. A lot of the Iker Sugyas of Malacha Special are in the third parak of the Masechta. And right here, the first starting point of the whole Malacha, really the yesod is going to come out of the Gemara on Mem Amud Beis. So moving over there for a few moments, the Gemara there brings a Machlokes Tanoim and Amoraim as to if there's an issue of Bishul in cooking oil. Is shemen subject to malachas bishul? And interestingly, surprisingly, there's a day in the Gemara that says if you cook oil on Shabbos, that is not a problem of malachas bishul. There's a day in the Gemara, in the Tanoim and in the Amoraim, that cooking oil is not subject to bishul. And the question becomes, what's the pshat? Moshe raises the issue, why on earth would there be no issue of cooking oil? Am I saying, you know, just like you cook any other food, you heat up the oil, you make it yatz, lettuce bow, why would there not be a problem of malachas bishul? So that's the issue Moshe raises. So Rav Moshe says that we're going to see from here the yesod of Malachas Bishul. And that is that Bishul is not just about heating something up. That is not the yesod of the Malacha. The yesod of Malachas Bishul is causing a change in a product through heat. Changing an item through heat, that is the yesod of Malachas Bishul. When you take an uncooked item and you cook it, so what are you really doing? You're changing it through heat. That's the yesod of Bishul. Or even by non-food items, if you take a peg or you cook par, if you cook tar or a peg and you soften it, you harden it, you change it through heat, that violates Malachas Bishul. But this day in the Gemara says that, listen, when you heat up oil, what have you really done? Have you really changed it in a significant way? It's true, it was cold a few minutes ago, now it's hot. Is that really a significant characteristic change in the object that could be called a change through heat? So that's one day in the Gemara says, no, that's not a significant change. That's not going to violate Malachas Bishul. So that is the yesod of Rav Moshe, which is our starting yesod as we start this malacha, that the basic definition of bishul is changing an object through heat. And that's why there's a day in the Gemara which says that if you cook oil, that's not going to be a problem of Bishul, because this day it says there's no significant change taking place. Yeah, Ben?
With water, is there a significant change between below and above Yad Zolevis?
Okay, so that's a very good question. We're going to get to that probably next week or in 2 weeks. But on a basic level, apparently there's more of a fundamental change when you heat up water. That's considered to be a significant functional change. But we're going to have to see what the Bishul of water is. That's the discussion. That's a very good point. Now, based on this yesod, Rav Moshe actually points out a practical application. He points out right off the back a halacha l'maaseh application of this yesod. In the tshuva there of Rav Moshe, so he was asked the following question. We're going to see next week one of the most important qualifications to the malacha of Bishul is the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, which on a basic level is going to mean that if you have an item that was already cooked once before and you cook it again, so in appropriate circumstances, that second act of recooking it won't be a problem of Malachas Bishul. In Bishul, Achar Bishul. That's the basic yesod that we're going to have next week. So Rav Moshe was asked the following question. It apparently was normal, maybe it still is normal, in the processing of tea to heat up the tea leaves to a very high heat and to dry them out. I don't know why they do this exactly, but apparently that was the norm, that maybe that still is the norm, that when they process tea, they heat it up to a very high heat, and it dries out the tea leaves. And the question he was asked was, can we consider that to be an initial act of Bishul, such that, based on the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, maybe there should be no problem cooking tea on Shabbos. Let me take a tea bag, throw it into a Kli Rishon, it'll be Yad Soledes Bo, and it should be perfectly mutter based on Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. That was the question that Rav Moshe was asked. So Rav Moshe responded based on this yesod. Rav Moshe said that the yesod of Bishul is not just heating something up, it's creating a change through heat. You have to change the object through heat. And we cannot be certain that when you heat up the tea leaves that you've really created a significant change. It's true that you dried it out, but is that really a significant change in the tea leaves? And therefore, says Rav Moshe, we cannot consider that act of heating up the tea leaves an act of Bishul. It's true you heated it up, but heating it up is not enough. You have to change it, and you haven't significantly changed it. And therefore, we have to treat tea leaves as something that's uncooked, such that you cannot cook it in a regular Kli Rishon on Shabbos. So that is Rav Moshe's practical application of this yesod. And with that, we've concluded part one of today's shiur. We're kicking off the malacha by pointing out the productive quality of the malacha. Rav Moshe proved from the Sugya Mem and Beis that the yesod of Bishul is about changing it through heat, not just heating it up. That's why there's a day in the Gemara that heating up oil is not Bishul. And Rav Moshe points out a practical application with tea leaves that even though they heat it up in the production process and they dry out the tea leaves, that is not going to represent an initial act of Bishul, which would have permitted putting the tea leaves in a regular Kli Rishon on Shabbos. Any questions? Okay, fine. So now we come over to part two of today's shiur. There's another basic fundamental aspect to Malacha Special, which we need to analyze in developing the basic definition of this Malacha. There's something unique about Malacha Special in contrast to many of the other Malachos, which is going to require some analysis for a little bit of time right now. When it comes to most of the other Malachos, as soon as you perform the act of the Malacha, you immediately accomplish the purpose of the Malacha. Like, for example, take the Malacha of Tochin. What is Tochin all about? Tochin is reducing something to smaller pieces, grinding something up. That's the basic concept of Malacha's Tochin. What's the act of Malacha's Tochin? Grinding something up. What's the yesod? What's the purpose of tochen? Causing something to be ground up. As soon as you do the act, you've accomplished the purpose. They go hand in hand. And so it is with most of the malachas. As soon as you do the act of the malacha, you accomplish the purpose of the malacha. The issue is that by Bishul, we have something unique here. Because by Bishul, there's a time delay between the act of the malacha and the purpose of the malacha. What's the act of malachas Bishul? What does the person do when he's going to violate Bishul? What does he do? He takes the food and puts it on the fire. That's the act of Bishul. What's the yesod of the malacha? What's the purpose of the malacha? We just pointed out in part one of today's shiur, the yesod of the malacha is causing a change through heat, cooking the food. But that doesn't occur immediately. It takes some time for the food to cook. If it's cold enough and if it's thick enough, it's going to take perhaps a lot of time for the food to cook. And so there's a certain time delay between the act of the malacha and the accomplishment of the purpose of the malacha. And so the question becomes, how does that play into defining malacha's Bishul? So that is going to be our discussion now for the remainder of today's shiur in part two now to figure out how exactly we define the act of Malacha Special in light of this unique phenomenon that we're finding that there's this time delay between the act of the malacha and the accomplishment of the yisod of the malacha. So we begin with the Gemara and Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Daf Dalet Amud Aleph tells us the following basic halacha, which kicks off this discussion. The Gemara there says that let's say a person takes some raw dough and you throw the dough into the oven. And then you pull the dough out of the oven before it cooks. Obviously, this, again, all taking place on Shabbos. This is all in the Masechta, the Stam day that we're discussing is the seventh day of the week, the first day of the week, however you want to count it. So on Shabbos, the person takes this dough, throws it into the oven, and then he pulls it out before the dough bakes. And the Gemara discusses this and tells us that in this case, the person will not violate Melechus Bishul. He's going to save himself from the Melacha if he pulls out the dough before it bakes. And so we see from this Gemara that Melechus Bishul does not end when you throw the food onto the fire. It begins by throwing the food onto the fire, but it only becomes complete once the food actually cooks. So we are seeing from this Gemara that indeed, Bishul does not stop at stage one when you put the food onto the fire. That's the beginning of the Melacha, but it only becomes complete once the food actually cooks. And that's what the Gemara is telling us, that if you pull the food out of the oven before it cooks, you're going to save yourself from violating Melechus Bishul. That's the starting yesod that we're having here in part two, the Gemara in Daf Dalet. Now, the Achronim raised a very interesting issue, which is a massive, massive discussion in the Achronim, which is going to help us refine this basic yesod that we're seeing here in part two, and which is going to have very fundamental applications. The issue that came up in the Achronim was like this. Now that we're seeing that if Melechus Bishul doesn't become complete till the food actually gets cooked, and if you pull it out before it gets cooked, you'll save yourself, what would you say about the following case? Let's say, right before Shabbos ends, a person takes some raw food, throws it into the oven, and then the food only actually cooks after Shabbos. It takes some time for this thick steak to cook, and it only cooks after Shabbos. And the question becomes, will the person violate Bishul in this situation? Because on the one hand, he started the Melacha on Shabbos, but we just got through saying that the Melacha only becomes complete once the food actually cooks. And in this case, the food only cooked on Motzei Shabbos after Shabbos was done, after Avdalah. And so the question becomes, will the person violate Bishul in this situation? This was a big time debate amongst the Achronim. There are many Achronim on both sides, but we'll call this Machlokas between the Rishash versus the Minchas Chinuch. Two basic approaches. How do we understand the halacha in this situation? So let's start with the shita of the Rishash. The Rishash on Daf Ayin Gimel says that in this case, the person will violate Melechus Bishul. That if you throw up the food into the oven right before Shabbos is over and it cooks after Shabbos, you are going to violate Melechus Bishul. And the Rishash says, I'm going to bring you precedent to this idea. I'll show you a raya that this model is correct, that in this type of case, if you start the malacha before Shabbos and it finishes after Shabbos, you're going to be chayav. What's my raya, says the Rishash? Malacha Zoraya. Because what's the malacha of Zoraya? Zoraya, we know, is the malacha of any act of promoting plant growth. If you plant seeds or any act of promoting plant growth, fits under the malacha of Zoraya. And talking in terms of the paradigm, the av of Zoraya, if you take a seed and plant it into the ground, so obviously that's chayav because that's one of the avos malachos. But says the Rishash, wait a moment, when you put a seed into the ground, it's not going to take root right away. It's going to take a few days for the seed to take root. Yet we know that obviously if the Torah says you can't do Zaraya, it's one of the Abbas Malachos, you must be Chayev, even though it's only taking root a few days later. So the whole Malach of Zaraya is a whole Malach that's built off this Yisod, that as long as you start the Malach on Shabbos, even though it's going to take root in a few days after Shabbos, you could still be Chayev for having started the Malach on Shabbos. So therefore, says the Rishash, that's my precedent to Melechus Bishul. That by Bishul, we're going to say the exact same thing. That when you throw the food into the oven before Shabbos, even if it cooks after Shabbos, since you started the process on Shabbos itself, even though the final stage of the Melacha of the cooking is taking place after Shabbos, that could be Chayiv as well, just like by Zoraya, just like when you throw the seed in the ground and it takes root after Shabbos, you're Chayiv. So too, when you throw the bread in the oven and it bakes after Shabbos, you'll be Chayiv as well. So that is approach number one, the sheet of the Rishash, for how to understand the halacha in this interesting situation. Any questions? We good? Okay, fine. However, the Minchas Chinuch argued on the Rishash. The Minchas Chinuch doesn't quote the Rishash by name, but he quotes this, he's discussing the same issue as the Rishash, and he brings up this idea of the Rosh Hashanah and he rejects it as being totally untenable. Because the Menachas Chinuch says, how can you have a concept of a malacha that's taking place after Shabbos? The Isra malacha is a prohibition to do malacha on Shabbos itself. There's no issue to do malacha during the week. Sheshes yom and teyasa malacha. It's a mitzvah. It's perfectly fine. It's recommended to do malacha for 6 days of the week. And so, says the Menachas Chinuch, how can we talk about a malacha that extends into the week? That's totally conceptually untenable. It's very nice that you started the malacha on Shabbos itself. You threw the bread into the oven on Shabbos. If it's only baking after Shabbos, if you're completing the malacha after Shabbos, how can you talk about being chayv in that situation? We need to do the malachas on Shabbos, not after Shabbos. So that's the Minchas Chinuch's argument on the Rosh Hashanah, that you're not going to be chayv in this situation for putting the bread up before Shabbos ends and having it bake afterwards. Now, of course, the Rosh Hashanah brought a raya to his shita. He brought a precedent from the malacha of Zariah. By Zariah, one of the Avos malachas is throwing a seed into the ground. Planting a seed into the ground is chayiv, even though it's only going to take root a few days later. And if it's taking root 3 days later, that's taking place during the week, yet you're chayiv. So what's the Minchas Chinuch going to do with the raya of the Rosh Hashanah? So the Minchas Chinuch is well aware of the raya of the Rosh Hashanah, and he rebuts that raya as follows. He says that when it comes to the malacha of Zoraya, the malacha is just placing seeds into the ground. Taking root is not part of the malacha. The definition of Zoraya is placing seeds in an area where they can grow. That is the beginning and the end of the malacha. When you place seeds into the ground on Shabbos, that completes the entire malacha. We're not waiting for the seeds to take root. We're not waiting for the weekdays. If we had to wait for the weekdays, you wouldn't be chayv. There wouldn't be such a malacha. The malacha is placing the seeds into the ground. That's the whole malacha. There is no such thing as a malacha taking place during the week. You don't see that from Zoraya. The malacha finishes on Shabbos. In contrast to that by Bishul, the malacha is two stages. The malacha starts by placing the bread in the oven, but that's not the end of the malacha. We saw from Daf Dalet that the malacha continues. If you pull the bread out of the oven before it bakes, you're going to be potter. So we see from the Gemara in Daf Dalet that Bishul is different than Zoraya. Zoraya was one step, putting the seeds into the ground. By Bishul, it's two steps. For whatever reason, Chazal understood Bishul is going to be different. And Bishul begins by putting the bread in the oven and only finishes when the bread or whatever the food is bakes. And so therefore, by Bishul, we cannot say that you're chayiv if it bakes after Shabbos. There's no concept of being chayiv for malacha after Shabbos. Malacha has to take place on Shabbos itself. So this is now the basic machlokas achronim, which is at the heart here of part two of today's shir. In part two of today's shir, we're trying to figure out when exactly you violate the malacha of Bishul. We're pointing out for the Gemara and Daf Dalet that Bishul starts by putting the food into the oven, but only completes once the food actually cooks. And we're now going to refine that by picking on this Machlokas Achronim about this interesting situation. What's the din? If you put the food into the oven before Shabbos ends, it bakes after Shabbos. Two basic approaches. The Rosh Hashanah says that you're chayiv in this case with the precedent from Zoraya, whereas the Menachas Chinuch says that you're potter in this case, and he debunks the raya from the Zoraya. And the question is, what's the hesber in this Machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for the Shita of the Rosh Hashanah? What's the conceptual basis for the Shita of the Menachas Chinuch? Anyone want to say anything? Yeah, Penny?
Yeah, just a question. It seems that Menachas Chinuch's world, that really he's viewing it sort of like a koach, sort of like the chilek between the two is koach gavr, like it's, is it, are you, is it one continuous act or is it something that's happening on its own?
Okay, good. And so what's the Rosh Hashanah going to hold?
Rosh Hashanah going to hold that. That really it's even that you're still that since once you put it into the ground, it's promoting it's all one act, putting the roots is the result.
Okay, so we're going to say it a little differently. I mean, we're going to take your chakir, we're just going to spin it a little bit. But basically, the question is like this, that as we're emphasizing, you're saying a nice chakir, I'm going to change the terminology, so I'm going to corrupt what you said. But basically, as we're pointing out in our sugi here, so we see from the Gemara on Daf Dalet that we have these two stages to the malacha of Bishul. Stage one is putting the food onto the fire. Stage two is when the food actually cooks. And you need both of them to be chayiv for Bishul. The question is going to be, what is the maisa malacha of Bishul? What's the legal activity that violates malachas Bishul? If you want to define it in English, you know, what's the legal act? What's the English act that violates malachas Bishul? That's going to be the subject of this dispute. Starting with the sheet of the Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is going to hold that the maisa malacha of Bishul, the legal act that violates Bishul, is stage one. That when you put the food onto the fire, that is the maisa malacha of Bishul. That's the legal act which violates Bishul. It's just that there's a tanai. There's a condition that we need to make sure you did a significant act. If you put a food onto the fire and it doesn't lead to anything, we really say you did a productive activity, a significant act. So we're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait for the food to cook to make sure that you did something significant. When the food cooks, that's not really part of the malacha. That's just a tanai. It's a condition to make sure that retroactively you did something significant. But the real malacha of bishul is just putting the food onto the fire. The act of putting the food in an area where it can cook, that's the ma'aseh malacha of bishul. There's just a condition. We have to wait a few minutes to make sure that it cooks so that in retrospect, we can define you as having done a productive and significant activity. Therefore, the Rosh Hashanah is going to say, of course, malacha has to take place on Shabbos itself. There's no such thing as doing malacha after Shabbos. But when you put the food into the oven before Shabbos is over and it cooks after Shabbos, in that case, you did bishul on Shabbos. Because the real malacha of bishul is stage one. Putting the food onto the fire, that is the malacha of bishul. We're only waiting after Shabbos for the food to cook to make sure that we can retroactively say you did something significant. You did something that's going to lead to something. And so once the food cooks, retroactively, your maisa of putting the food on the fire, that was a violation of bishul on Shabbos itself. That's why the Rosh Hashanah is okay with this concept of being chayiv in this situation. That's the yesod of the Shitas Rosh Hashanah, that the maisa melech is stage one. Stage two is a tanai. Having the food cook is just a tanai. It's a condition to make sure that stage one was a significant act. On the other hand, moving over to the Shitas of the Menachas Chinuch, as Penny had said, he's going to be holding that really bishul is not the act of bishul, the legal act of bishul is not just stage one, it's also stage two. According to the Menachas Chinuch, the maisa of bishul, the legal act of bishul, is a two-stage process. It begins by putting the food on the fire, and it continues until the food cooks. We view the person as doing a two-stage act of cooking it. You put the food on the fire, and it continues until it cooks. It's one big two-stage process of melechas bishul. If that's the case, then the entire process better take place on Shabbos itself. If you start the process on Shabbos, but it only finishes after Shabbos, how could he be chayiv? He did part of the malacha after Shabbos. The malacha, the Isra malacha, is a prohibition to do malacha on Shabbos itself. And therefore, the Minchas Chinuch says that the food better cook on Shabbos also. If the food cooks after Shabbos, you're not going to be chayiv. So that's the Yesod Machlokes in the Rosh Hashanah versus the Minchas Chinuch. What is the legal act that violates bishul? Is a legal activity stage one of putting the food on the fire? Just there's a condition, we have to wait, make sure that it cooks so retroactively you did something significant. Or is the malacha of bishul a two-stage process, putting the food up and having it cook? The person is behind this whole two-stage process, this one big legal continuous act, such that the whole process better take place on Shabbos itself. And any questions? Ben?
It's just pointing out, according to Minchas Chinuch, it kind of sounds like bishul is a grumma almost, that you just kind of set up, let go, and the malacha
100%. 100%. That is certainly a conceptual nafkamina in this machlokas, that according to the Rosh Hashanah, we would call bishul a regular direct malacha, whereas according to the Minchas Chinuch, it would come out that, according to the Rosh Hashanah, if the whole malacha is stage one of putting it up, there's no grumma there. In the Minchas Chinuch, if we're now incorporating stage two into the malacha, the cooking is part of the malacha, there's absolutely a grumma taking place in this malacha itself, and that totally can have nafkaminas la'alacha. That is a very beautiful insight, 100%. That's a conceptual nafkamina, 100%. Any other questions? Okay. Fine. So now, Arye?
Sorry, would that depend on how you define grumma? I know, is a time delay necessarily?
Okay. Okay. So that 100%. That's totally also part of the complications. We'll take a poll if we should do Shabbos again next year. If we finish up, so hopefully we'll get to that. But okay, 100%. That was a nice back and forth. Absolutely. Okay. So let's keep going. So we're not gonna finish up by showing two interesting nafkaminas lahalacha in this machlokas Rosh Hashanah versus Minchas Chinuch. So that's how we're gonna conclude today's share. So let's start with nafkamina number one. The first nafkamina comes up in the Gemara in an issue in the Rishonim on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Just to avoid the complexity of the sugi there, I'm just going to extract the core nafkamina. But if you reference the Maromakom as I quote, so you'll see that it comes out of the Gemara in Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The issue that comes up is like this. Let's say you have a situation where we'll call Reuven. Reuven decides that he's going to violate Melechus Bishul. He takes a raw piece of dough, and he intentionally decides that I'm going to bemaze it, put this dough into the oven on Shabbos. and someone's around, he gives him hasra, he warns him, you should know, Reuven, that if you put this food up, you're violating melachas bishul, you're chayiv skila. And Reuven doesn't care. He's doing it b'mezid. He's intentionally taking this dough and throwing it into the oven on Shabbos. Then, after he puts the dough into the oven, Reuven has a change of heart. He says, you know what? Being pushed off a two-story building doesn't sound so convenient, especially if they're going to pelt me with stones afterwards. Maybe I should change my mind. And he decides to take the dough out of the oven. The problem is that an onus occurs, and he can't get the dough out of the oven due to an onus. Let's say Shimon is around. Shimon doesn't like Reuven, so Shimon decides to restrain Reuven to make sure that Reuven, instead of calling the mafia, we'll just hold him down and we'll let Halacha finish the job here. So due to an onus, Reuven cannot get the dough out of the oven. And the question is, what's the halacha in this situation? So Reuven did stage one, b'mezid. He intentionally put the dough into the oven with hasra, with a warning, knowing that it's doing melachas bishul on Shabbos. But then he had a change of heart. And stage two took place by onus. When the dough then cooked, that was an onus. He tried to get it off, but someone stopped him, and he couldn't get it off. And the question is Reuven chayiv skila in this situation? Will when the Sanhedrin comes in a mitzvah Shem soon, so will we kill Reuven in this situation or not? That's the question that comes up. So this is a machlokas rishonim in the Gemara in Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara there has a slightly different situation. It's the exact same case, just instead of the case being where Shimon held down Reuven, the onus is coming from a different place. There's a different onus on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, but I just presented a simple onus where Shimon held down Reuven. And there's a machlokas rishonim on this issue between the Ravan versus the Riva. This is in the Tosefus Ian section of the Mar Makomos. I put these Mar Makomos there. There's a machlokas between the Ravan versus the Riva on this issue. So starting with the Shita of the Ravan, thanks to Penny's database, that's how I found the Ravan. So thank you, Penny. He has a wild database of obscure rishonim. So I found it on that. The Ravan says that in this situation, you are going to be chayiv skila. It's a diyuk, but if you're medayik the Ravan from that Mar Makom, I think it's Shimon Shin Lamed Ches and Hilcha Shabbos, Lamed Ches Lamed Tes and Hilcha Shabbos. So the Ravan indicates you will be chayiv skila in this situation. It was very nice that you had a change of heart and Reuven tried to get the dough out at stage two. But Lamayis, he did stage one b'mezid, and therefore he's going to get chayiv. He's going to be chayiv skila in this situation. That's the shita of the Ravan, and the Riva argues. Tosas Natal and Manalv brings the Riva, who argues. He doesn't quote the Ravan, but he states his opinion. Riva says that in this case, if there's an onus that occurs at stage two, and he tries to get the dough out of the oven, but he can't, he's going to be pater. He's not going to be chayiv skila. He would still have to do tshuva. He definitely did something wrong. He did stage one b'mezid, and the malacha did complete itself. The malacha finished itself. So he definitely needs tshuva. But in terms of killing him, we can't kill him because stage two occurred b'onez. So that's the machlokas here between the Ravan versus the Riva. And the question becomes, what's the hesber in this machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for each of these shitos in this machlokas? Does anyone want to just to plug in the Rosh Hashem Chas Chinuch to explain this machlokas? Are you?
Yeah, so I guess the Ravan would be going with the Rosh Hashanah, that it's just the first part is the only part of the Malacha, so then once you do that, you're chayiv. But that would be like the Riva, that you have to do the whole thing.
Hey, Shkayach, it takes Zoom to get Arya to speak up, finally. Okay, thank you very much, Arya. Shkayach. Okay, so 100%. Thank you for the give and take. It makes my life easier. So just to plug in what Arya just said, so it goes like this. If we start with the Shita of the Rosh Hashanah, what was the definition of Bishul according to the Rosh Hashanah? Stage one, putting the food onto the fire is the Malacha. It's just that tonight we have to make sure the food cooks, so we could say that retroactively you did something significant. But the Malacha occurs really at stage one. If that's the case, then in this situation where Reuven maliciously, intentionally put the bread up b'mezid, and he got hasra, he got warned, he did the entire Malacha b'mezid. He did the Ikar Malacha, the essential Malacha Bishul b'mezid. It's true that at stage two there was an onus, but stage two is not really part of the malacha. Stage two is just a technicality. We wait for the bread to bake, so that retroactively you did something significant. But the whole act of the malacha really is just putting the bread into the area where it's going to cook, and therefore that took place b'mezid, and so that should be chayiv skila. He should be chayiv skila in this case. And so that would be the hesber behind the Ravan. The Sfas Emes and Daf Dalet Amud Aleph indicates this hesber. That would be the hesber behind the sheet of the Ravan. Ravan who's saying that you're going to be chayas gil in this case, he's going to hold that the soda bishel is at stage one, putting the bread into the oven. Stage two is just the conditions, just the tonight we wait for to make sure he does something significant. And so the real essential malacha took place b'mezid. You're chayav skila in this situation. Shimon did a good job. If Shimon wants to get rid of Reuven, so it worked in this situation. On the other hand, if we move over to shita number two, the shita of the Minchas Chinuch is holding that bishul is a process, is a two-stage process that begins. The legal act of bishul is a two-stage process. You put it up and it cooks. That's one big continuous process of malachas bishul. You put it up, it continues until the bread bakes. That is the ma'is malach of bishul. If that's the case, then your whole activity better be b'mezid. In order to be chayiv misas, so your whole ma'is malach, your whole ma'is avera needs to be b'mezid. If part one is b'mezid, but part two is bonus, we can't kill you. You need to do the entire avera b'mezid in order to be chayiv skila. If at stage two there was an onus, the second part of this legal act was done b'onus, he tried to take it off, he couldn't. You can't be chayiv skila in this situation. That's the hesper behind the shita of the Riva. The Riva would be working with the shita of the Minchas Chinuch, that in this case is a two-stage process. Therefore, the Riva concluded that an onus at stage two, before the bread bakes, will pater him from being chayiv skila. So that was nafkamina number one. Okay, any questions? We good? Okay. Going over to nafkamina number two. So nafkamina number two is as follows. There's a marach or a zeruah that only someone like Rabbi Soloveitchik could find. Rabbi Soloveitchik found this unbelievable marach or zeruah, which Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out is going to be a nafkamina in this machlokas. The marach or zeruah says like this. He says something really wild, and Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out that what he says is really going to be telling in this machlokas. As we've mentioned in the past, we know that there's a heter or a downgrade to the Isra Malacha when you do a Malacha Aide Shinoi. If you perform one of the Malachos in an unconventional way, you do it Kalach Rayad indirectly or in some out of the norm way, so that's going to downgrade the Isra Malacha. It's not going to be an issue de Uraisa. And so the issue the Marach or Zerua raises is like this. Let's say a person puts a pot onto a fire with a Shinoi, and then the food cooks. Let's say you pick up a pot with your elbows and you use your elbows to put the food onto the fire, and then the food cooks. Would that be an effective way of downgrading this malacha? If, let's say some person has to do this for a chola, and it's a chola sheyesh bo sakana, he has to violate bishul, but would this be an effective way of downgrading the severity of the malacha? So surprisingly, the Marach or Zeruah says that no, this is not going to work. This is not an effective shinoi. Because it's very nice that at stage one, when you put the food up, you did it with a shinoi. But stage two had no shinoi in it. When the food cooked, it cooked in a totally normal way. It's true, you got the food onto the stove with your elbows in a very weird way. Might have been pretty cool if you pulled it off, but it was weird still, so that's a shinoi. But stage two, when the food cooked, once it was on the fire, it went through a perfectly normal process of cooking. Therefore, says the Marach or Zeruah, this is not an effective shinoi to downgrade Malachas Bishul. That is the statement of the Marach or Zeruah. So Rabbi Soloveitchik from Yeshiva pointed out that as to if this really makes sense or not, really depends on the machlokes in the Rosh Hash versus the Minchas Chinuch. So let's plug it in. Starting with the Shita of the Rosh Hash, so the Rosh Hash said that what's the Yisod of Malachas Bishul, the legal act of Bishul? It's really stage one. Putting the food on the fire is the Malacha. We just wait, there's a Tanai, make sure the food actually cooks so we can say retroactively you did something significant. If that's the case, or as Soloveitchik said, it's very difficult to understand this Marach or Zeruah. Because the whole malacha is stage one. The whole malacha of bishul is putting the food onto the fire. That is the malacha. Stage two, waiting for the food to cook, is just a technicality to make sure you did something significant. But the malacha is taking place at stage one. That's the ma'isa malacha. And that's when we would expect the shinoi to kick in. So just like any other malacha, yudi b'shinoi knocks it down. So too here, if you do stage one b'shinoi, that should totally knock down the malacha. This halacha would not seem to make sense l'fi the Rosh Hash. According to the Rosh Hash, this should be an effective way of downgrading this malacha. If a person has to do this for chol sheish bo sakana to cook some food, using your elbows to put the food onto the stove should work to downgrade the severity of this malacha according to the Rosh Hash. On the other hand, moving over to the shita of the Minchas Chinuch, so now things come out differently, because the Minchas Chinuch shita was that bishul is a two-stage process. The legal act of bishul, the ma'isa malacha, is a two-stage process. It starts by putting the food onto the fire and having the food cook. It's one continuous act of bishul. If that's the case, so now there's room for the following refinement. We could say that the Marach or Zeruah held that, listen, if we're going to say that Bishul is a two-stage process, maybe stage two in the process is really the Iker part, because as we emphasize all along, the real purpose of Bishul is stage two. The change in the food is the real Yisod of Bishul. Stage two is when you actually have the food become cooked. That's the real Yisod of the Malacha. Stage one is more of a heksher. It's more of a prelude to get us to stage two. So yes, it's a two-stage process, but stage two might be more of an Iker part of the process, whereas stage one is more of a tuffle secondary part of the process. You could say such a thing. And if that's the case, then we could hear what the Malacha or Zeruah is saying, that maybe we need the Shinoi to occur at stage two. If you put the food up in a manner of a Shinoi, but then stage two occurs perfectly normally, maybe you could argue that that's not going to work for Hilcha Shinoi, because stage two is the Iker. Yona, you have a question?
Yeah, so I get that. Like, it sounds like it makes sense, but at the same time, you could say if you're counting it as a two-stage process, where each part is part of the malacha, then wouldn't a shinoi in any part? Like, I know that you're saying that stage two could be considered the ikker, but ultimately stage one is still part of it. So if you're doing a shinoi during stage one, in essence, you've done some sort of a shinoi in the process of the malacha. Shouldn't that be effective?
So I think that is a beautiful svara. I think you're 100% correct. I think that's totally straight thinking. And that's why I'm just happy the Marachor Zeruah says it, meaning he's a Rishon. He says that it's not going to work. So in other words, if he didn't say it and I suggested this nafkamina, I think you would be totally knocking me down. No question, mm-hmm. 100%. And if someone says what you're saying, it's totally reasonable. But we're forced to explain him. He says something. He says that it's not going to work. So just al korchach, what he's holding is not what you're saying. You're saying a beautiful svara, but he's going to be saying that stage two is the ikar and a shinoi in stage one is not going to work. Okay, so just to summarize, Arye.
Is it possible that he just doesn't hold the same svara that the Mephistina says, and stage one is not really as much part of the malacha as one?
Okay. So you could say that. Mm-hmm. You could say that. That's really getting wild. That stage one is not even part of the malacha at all, and stage two is the only malacha. Stage one is just a heksher. It's a heksher.
Yeah.
And stage two, you could totally say that. I think it's a little bit of a wild idea to take stage one out of the malacha. The whole act of the person is stage one. So I think it's a little bit wild to take stage one out of the malacha. But I think it's a possibility, just if you think about it, like the whole act of the person is putting the food on the fire. So to say that that's not a chelik of the malacha is like a pretty wild idea. Like, it's very abstract. Okay, fine. So just to quickly summarize today's shir, so we kicked off Malacha Special tonight. We pointed out in part one of today's shir, the basic product of yisod of Malacha Special is changing an item through heat. That's why oil, according to one day in the Gemara, we don't paskin that way, but this day in the Gemara, that if you cook oil, there's no problem, because Rav Moshe pointed out there's no change. That's why tea leaves would be a problem to cook in a Kli Rishon, because the Maisa, even though they're heated up and maybe they were dried out, but that's not a significant change to be considered a Bishul that would have permitted recooking them on Shabbos. That was part one of today's shir. And then part two of today's shir was the discussion of the Maisa Malacha Bishul. What's the legal act of Bishul? We have these two stages in the process. The Gemara Naftala tells us that if you pull the food out of the fire before it cooks, you're going to potter yourself. So it's definitely a two-stage process in some sense. You first put the food up and then the food cooks. And we're trying to refine that understanding based on the Shaila Nachronim. What if you put the food up before Shabbos ends, and then it cooks after Shabbos? Machlokas Rashash versus Minchas Chinuch came down to a basic machlokas, whether the real Yisod Bishul is stage one, like the Minchas like the Rashash, putting the food on the fire, just as a Tanai, make sure that it cooks, so you did something significant. Or like the Minchas Chinuch arguing, saying that no, it's really a two-stage process. It starts with putting the food up, it continues on as the food cooks. We pointed out two nafkaminas in this machlokas. The first nafkamina was the case where Reuven does stage one b'mezid, but then stage two is an onus that when it cooks, he tries to take it off, he can't get it off due to an onus. Would he be chayv skila in that case? Machlokas we shown him, which we pointed out came down to this machlokas, and thanks to Arye's input, so I was able to get some back and forth in the chabura. And then part two, nafkamina number two, was the nafkamina Savechik came up with based on the Marach or Zeruah, who pointed out that if you have a shinoi in stage one, so he says that it's not going to work, that if you put it up with your elbows, the pot on the fire, it's not going to help, because stage two, when the food actually cooked, it cooked in a normal way. And we pointed out that would also be totally on this machlokas, barring Yona's beautiful rebuttal, but the Marach Rosh still says what he says. Thank you very much for joining us. Have a beautiful, wonderful Shabbos. Shkayach.
Shkoyach, good Shabbos.
Thank you, good Shabbos.
Shabbos, thank you.
Thank you, have a good Shabbos.
Yeah, Shabbos, thank you.